welcome to episode number 12 of the 10HP Broadcast, the show that follows our game club as we play through random games from the past few years. I'm your host, Chris Peters, and with me today are Anthony Nguyen.
Hello.
And Paul Bean.
Hey, everyone.
All right. We're a little light today, but that's great. That's going to focus our conversation. So just a warning for new listeners, this podcast is not concerned with spoilers. So if you haven't played the game, you may get something spoiled for you. And this month we were playing The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing. So I get that right now. I didn't get that right before. Glorious called me out on it because I just said Van Helsing and the Kinect would not be happy with me if I did not use the whole name.
Based on what we played earlier today, that's right.
Anyway, that was nominated by me. And the reason I chose that game is because I am a fan of action RPGs. And I knew Anthony would really enjoy it. I like to tailor my games a little bit to other people in the group that I know are going to be into it, so I'm not the only one. I play a lot of different action RPGs, and I'm not really an expert, I wouldn't say, on any of them, but I played all the Diablos and Torchlight and Titan Quest, and I enjoy that style of game. So I wanted to see where this would go. I heard it was good, and it was a budget title, so kind of fit into our price point. So that's why I did that. Let's start with you, Anthony. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of this game, and why?
I actually enjoyed the game immensely. I got really into it. Even though the Steam says I logged like probably over 50 hours, I really only put in like 40.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Big difference.
But yeah, I really got into the game. I got to the end game really quickly. But now, that's also where I also found, you know, the game lacking and why I stopped.
It's worth noting that the 40 hours that you got into the game came in like the first week. It's not just like over the whole time that we were all playing this game. Mm-hmm. This is you played and finished this game.
Yeah. No. The first week was like 25 hours. It probably said a lot because I had a lot. I'll get into that, the saving of the game.
Right.
I'll get into that.
Okay. So, Paul, what do you think of this?
I did not like it. mostly because, I like games with action. And I like games with RPG elements, but the word action RPG, I don't like most games that people would use those words to describe.
A clickfest.
Yeah.
Did you fall asleep playing this game again?
I actually did. I was playing it last night. I couldn't keep my eyes open. And
you're
like,
still
my head was
monsters.
Bobbing back and forth like, oh.
Yeah, you're still clearing
no one can
the map
see that,
and everything,
but
right?
Yeah, I was still clearing the map, and I was like holding down my buttons, and there was like certain parts where like I had to hold babies in my hand, and I found that I could just play the game without ever having to hit anything, any other keys, and I could just play it with my right, just with my right hand if I just bound the right stuff to.
Well, you had some immense survivability because I always was having to chug potions or do that sort of managing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I enjoyed this game at first. And I was actually, after the first couple of days of playing, I said to Glorious that this may be the best action RPG I've ever played. Mm. And the reasons for that I will get into. But there were some things about it that are just unique to the way it handles the mechanics that I really enjoyed. And after a while, it got repetitive, and the technology really started to impose on my enjoyment of the game.
What do you mean by technology?
Well, we'll get into that more, but basically, the fact that it's a budget title and everything's not supremely polished, and I'll talk about all the different parts that affected me, but
I thought you meant Professor Fumagalli's technology.
No. but that was the thing that eventually, at first it didn't bother me. I'm like, okay, this is a budget game. I'll just give it a pass. But more and more as you play it, it wore on me, and I don't even want to launch it because it's so irritating to deal with the performance issues. Mm. Anyway, so with that in mind, let's talk about the things we like. Let's start out positive. Something you liked, Anthony?
Loot. Okay. There's a lot of loot.
There's a lot of loot.
Yeah.
And I found it very easy to up your loot chances.
Yep.
And I was getting lots of loot.
Yep.
And I like the way that you collect it. It was much easier in this game. This is one of the things that I think that this does better than any other game. To sort through the stuff you're not interested in. It's you still got to compare a lot of things, but you can throw away stuff that's just not valuable enough to you. Mm-hmm. That you can have her pick up things that you don't ever want to touch and have to look at.
Wait, who is this her you speak of?
The her. Good, good thing. So, in the game, this is an action RPG. This is a for use Paul's description. This is a Diablo clone. This is a game about going around clicking on monsters, and those monsters die, and then they drop loot, and the loot is color-coded, and you mm-hmm. pick it up, and you put it into your different slots, your hat, and your amulet, and your rings, and your chest, and all that. And along the way, you have an ally named Lady Katarina.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And she...
She's more of a ghost than a lady.
She is a ghost.
She's still a lady.
She's still a lady.
A female ghost.
I mean, her name is Lady Katarina.
For sure. Sure.
Anyway, whether or not that's
she's always pulling up her ghost dress, her. Too.
Yeah. Anyway, who are you, though?
You are Van Helsing, but not the Van Helsing. You're
right.
the son of Van Helsing.
Which is kind of funny, because you think you're going to play like Van Helsing.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so you have this assistant, and if you've played Torchlight, she's very reminiscent of the pets in Torchlight. She will run around and collect stuff for you off the ground, and she will fight for you. She has three different modes, kind of like, well, actually, I don't know what all three of the modes are. One of them's fighting like a tank, one of them's ranged, I assume.
Yeah, okay. I used ranged the whole time.
Okay, so I used ghost mode the whole time, and ghost is a passive mode where she cannot take damage. Well, she can, but...
And she reduces damage for you.
But that's she reduces her, damage
the way she helps to you. And she the reason I like playing ghost mode on my second playthrough with the second character is that she doesn't steal your kills for those achievements.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't realize that
her kills would... I was trying to figure out like what's going on in this first game. Like, you know, I think I killed enough or, you know, doing something, but...
But to bring this back to loot, which is what got us on the topic, mm-hmm. she will pick up all your loot. And in ghost mode, she'll pick it up despite the fact that there's people standing on top of it. Mm-hmm. She'll go over into the enemy groups and pick up everything that's fallen on the ground there.
Yep. She'll go to those far away corners so that you don't have to go there, click there yourself,
right?
And waste time. Yep.
She's great. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that whole mechanic. Anyway, what do you like?
I liked that she was just totally configurable.
Yeah.
Because I would say... At the beginning, I was picking up all the blue items, and then later I'm like, F that. I'm just going to pick up the yellow ones or whatever. You know.
At first, I had her picking up only whites. And that's the thing you can say, like, pick up white items, pick up blue items, pick up yellow items, pick up epic items. I don't know if it means purple or... I don't know how... I never clicked that high. But then you can also say, pick up anything that in the store would be valued at less than $4,000. Yeah.
Also nice.
So she doesn't take the really good stuff away from you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I didn't want to do any work. So I just had her pick up everything that was expensive, you know, because I'm like, I don't want to click on anything. I just want to keep killing monsters.
Anyways, the way I play is my first character of any new action RPG tends to be my character who goes and magic finds and to twink out all my other characters.
Right.
So I built this character to be a. Like he had over 360% magic find.
Wow!
So everything he dropped, everything that was dropping was yellows. And
that's nice.
And some blues. And you know, I'd still have to manually transfer yellows over to her to send her to the shop and everything. But
well, see, that's another thing. And this gets into a little of specifics of how like Diablo handles loot. Mm-hmm. But I don't think magic find improves the quality. It just increases the chance of things dropping in Diablo. But in this game,
I think it increases the I don't know how it works, but in Diablo, if you had a, you know, when an item drops and there was a 1% chance for it to be a rare and a 10% chance for it to be a magic item, what magic find does is it, you know, if you have 100% magic find, that means that item has a 20% chance to be a magic item and a 2% chance to be a rare.
Right.
It doesn't like increase it, you know, like 100% chance that it'll be rare.
And that's a complicated system, but it does make sense. Like you're increasing the percentages for the groups and it pushes some of the lesser groups off the end of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But you still don't have a very good chance of finding a rare.
Yeah.
But you just said that your 360% made it so you almost always found rares.
Yeah, it was rare that I found a non-rare.
Right. And so that's that is like a theme that I see throughout this whole game. Like, their mechanics are not as finely tuned to be competitive, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that better. I like it when the game is just nicer to you.
that's kind of the also.
You mean it's
why.
Not balanced, is what you're
saying. Right. Yeah. It is not as finely balanced, and that makes for a better game.
Yeah, well,
in my opinion.
I don't know how the Magic Find works in Van Helsing exactly, but it could be the same as Diablo.
Uh-huh.
Just that I was seeing all these items. I mean, it could be also because I was doing a lot of scenarios, and you're fighting higher level monsters, so you're probably dropping more.
Right.
You know, higher level stuff.
Right.
But
well,
even though I might be exaggerating, but there are still whites and blue drops. They do still drop, but I do enjoy just seeing. It's raining.
Excuse me.
It's raining yellows and sometimes sets and uniques.
Yeah, I didn't start getting sets until the very end.
Yeah, me too.
I was surprised by that. Like the set I got was like level 15, and I'm like, I'm level 29. Why do I need a level 15 set?
No, piece? I know. I have my complaints about the set items too.
Right.
Like they don't look that valuable. Like they tell you what's going to happen when you get, you know, two of the set, three of the set. It's like these bonuses don't really mean much to me, and I hate it more that they belong to classes that I haven't bought.
yeah, I didn't that's a bummer. The DLC stuff was dropping in the game, and I'm like, I don't even have access to this class.
Mm-hmm. It like infects your stuff. I mean, by that I mean, you know, before they had developed that DLC, all the stuff that would have been dropping would be Witch Hunter stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so now you're just getting less stuff for you, right?
Exactly. They're not adding more drops. They're just consuming some of your valid drops with DLC stuff.
Unless, I mean, they could have possibly just increased all the drop rate across the board.
I'm sure they didn't. I mean, I can't imagine they would have, but that is a reasonable, you know, that is plausible.
I don't know.
But unlikely.
I'd have to throw half the stuff away, you know, because they're always like thaumaturge or something.
You
know?
Too bad you can't filter that stuff out, like have her automatically pick it up.
Well, but I don't see as much work. I don't know. Nothing about action RPGs. I do like to micromanage my inventory.
Uh-huh.
Like, I do like to look at every single item. I mean, but this game is really simple. That's another great thing about this game. You know, it's very simplistic. I actually felt like it's very simplistic. I know what stats I'm looking for. I'm just looking for the DPS number and make sure, you know, other stats aren't as affected as much. And then I'm just shuffling them over to Katarina to sell off.
I thought that was really the organization. Had some bad parts, but it had some good parts too. Like you could, as you added items to your inventory, it would shuffle your inventory around to make sure everything could fit.
Good and bad.
Bad because sometimes like you'd think this thing's located in the lower right corner, mm-hmm. and then now where is it? Where'd it go?
Yeah, I specifically put this old ring. I'm going to keep to the side because I'm wearing this better ring, but I want to keep this other ring to the side to use for something else,
uh-huh.
maybe in at the artifact forge or something. So I throw it in the right hand corner, and then of course my inventory fills up, and then it does that automatic shuffle. And it's like, okay, which ring is it?
Right,
then I have to dig and look through all the rings for that one.
Yeah, but they had some good things too. Like you could do all the comparisons, basically compare things against any aspect. Like if you've got two rings, you can hold down control and compare it against one ring or the other.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to shift it over to Katarina, you can hold shift
alt.
And to shift it over, or you can hold alt to equip it on her, or mm-hmm. you know, you can there are
is there a way to compare, like if the
or maybe
the,
alt is compare against mm-hmm. her
if the, yeah if the thing was in Katarina's inventory, can you compare against your stats?
Yes. Then,
yeah,
yeah, what's the
I don't remember. I never
if
did
it's
that
because
once it's in hers, it's gone for me.
So what if she picks something? Oh, yeah, she's picking up crap you don't need.
She's picking up
yeah.
crap I don't need. Yeah. and if I shift it over to her, I've already analyzed it and said, this is trash. So, but it's so nice. And then she goes to the shop, and she'll sell the stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, except when she's at the shop, that's 1 minute that you don't have your 10% damage reduction, assuming
right.
she's in ghost mode.
That's
or
true.
She's your tank or extra DPS.
But you can get her back in weird ways by like talking to people.
Yeah, scripted sequences.
But yeah, she does disappear.
She makes too many jokes. I mean, she's always like, I'm going to keep 10% of your money.
Honestly,
I liked her jokes. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
know,
otherwise it'd be a bland action RPG because the Van Helsing, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about story first. You know?
No, my favorite thing was when she came back and she's like, help, I'm being held captive by this man. And, oh, it's
just you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they had a good, like, rapport relationship, you know, where they were kind of funny and joking back and forth.
I thought the writing was pretty good. I thought it was.
What parts? Like, the actual dialogue wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I think the whole story arc was pretty terrible.
Yeah, well, it was pretty generic and bland.
It was pretty generic. The whole story was pretty generic. But the individual elements that you know, kept you entertained through the game, that was pretty good.
Seriously, like, I think it is Lady Katarina who kept the game entertaining.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those, like, side quests and everything, when she makes those, you know, jabs at you, it's just great.
Yeah. I mean, I the game, just the writing was, I don't know, was it on purpose that they were doing all this just kind of like funny stuff where, like, Dracula was, like, your friend, you know, and...
It's in a very... I don't know. I mean, I only know... Well, what I know about Van Helsing is from the Hugh Jackman movie.
Okay.
So it's just like Van Helsing is like a Sherlock Holmes, right? He deals with many different sorts of, I guess, problems. You know, there will be vampire bosses he has to deal with. That's the movie. But he also, you know, he's also dealing with the other occult stuff, too. And I guess, you know, he can ally with werewolves and vampires in this case. Not all vampires are bad.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well,
right?
I don't know. I really don't know anything about Van Helsing. I've not even seen this movie, and we talked about that last time. But I just, you know, I don't know what the deal is with Van Helsing.
Also, when you heard Dracula talk for the first time...
A vampire. He's not Dracula.
Well, it seemed... Wasn't that his name?
Is it Dracula?
Anyway.
I don't know.
I thought it was. But I immediately thought of Magica and, like, Vlad from Magica, because he just had the same, like, twang to his voice. And I just couldn't take him seriously whatsoever. Yeah.
All about vampires. Even the Count.
If Vlad was not a vampire, though.
So he says.
Yeah. But no, there were a number of tongue-in-cheek, punny things. Did you see the rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
From Monty Python, the rabbit.
No, I don't think I did.
There are all these side boss.
Yeah, it was a side boss. Oh. There are all these dead bodies, and there's just this rabbit.
Oh, maybe there. I think I did kill that.
Okay,
but I just didn't get it.
Oh, yeah, you didn't get it. You killed the rabbit, and you're like,
I went through this game half asleep. I'm telling.
He probably needed an NPC named Tim to tell him about the rabbit first.
Yeah. Did you see Gollum?
Oh, yeah, he's one of those vulture, blah, 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 the hunchback guys.
Yeah, he's running around with my precious.
The unique ring.
Right.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of references. I mean, that's what made the game enjoyable for me. Just those little, I don't know if you call them pop culture references, but those references. And otherwise, why I stopped playing is that it did turn out to be a bland game for me.
Right.
I mean, pretty generic action RPG in the end.
So, but one more thing before we get off of the topic of loot, was there anything specific about the items that made it interesting, made it entertaining?
Oh yeah, Ricky made this point about, you know, legendary items.
Yeah,
unique items.
I was going to mention that too. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
No, it's that they have unlockable. I mean, they have abilities that are locked. That, you know, need to accomplish certain things to unlock these extra abilities on these items. And I did enjoy, you know, going through the extra work of, you know, further unlocking these unique items.
I like that too, except that I think it, I don't know, it seems like it's irritating to balance. Like, I thought it was really cool to, like, when I found an item I wanted to go through and get more stuff out of it. That's awesome. But if it's, like, built into the item budget, for that item, like, you just don't know what the item is until you've done a lot of work to see what it is. That's kind of a sucky mechanic.
Me, it's like, I like to, you know, I'm a collector, right? It's like, oh, I want to unlock this item's full potential, and then I want to shelve it. I don't sell any of my uniques. I have a tab or just for uniques,
right?
You know, and that's the game for me, is I like to collect these uniques, and, you know, as trophies. They're all trophies to me.
So is it only uniques, like legendaries? Are they really, like, unique? They have specific sets of stats, or are these just random stats hidden behind a...
Oh, unfortunately, they are random stats, because I've gotten two of the same uniques, and they have... They vary slightly, or a lot in some cases. Yeah, like, in one of the scenarios, and here's another rule, you can't equip two of the same uniques.
Uh-huh.
So I have this one unique ring that gives you a plus to all stats, but they're different. The bonuses are different.
Huh.
It's just RNG, right, randomly generated. So, unfortunately, you know, like, oh, the first one I found was probably the best one because it adds the most to dexterity, and these other ones add to other stats, so that I don't really care about. So I stick with the first one, but I'm unlocking these other two, other copies I get to see if they might turn out better.
So maybe that would make a difference in the end game, but I found that I was constantly just upgrading all of my stuff anyway, so I never really paid attention to the legendaries that had, like, you had to kill, you know, X whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, by the time I finished it, I would be on to my next weapon.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I just didn't care.
And I guess it would, you'd probably be willing to be put in the time in the end game. Like, because you'd go, oh, well, here's another item, and it matches my other thing, but it has potential to be better, so yeah. I'll spend the time and see what those stats are. But it takes a little bit longer than just finding the item.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a reasonable thing.
Yeah, and here's another positive thing about the loot. You know, I actually cared about the loot in this game compared to Diablo 3. The uniques felt unique.
Right.
And because, you know, they have an extra potential, and they just seemed unique. I don't know. And even though both games are still about DPS, I just felt like, you know, I was more excited about the drops in this game than I was in Diablo.
Hmm. While we're on the topic of loot, why do you have to identify, like, some of the items?
I had this exact question about Diablo 3.
Yeah, Chris and I always have this discussion.
Like, when an item drops in Diablo 3, right, it's unidentified until you right-click on it and you wait for the bar. Exact same thing that they do.
It's like BS. Like, why would you make a mechanic where you just have to spend time to see something? And especially when you have everything else that you can just mouse over.
It is for people like me who likes to unwrap their super special presents. That's all it is. It's just an extra mechanic to make an item feel even more special.
Is that really?
That's all it is.
They should just list it like the despecializer and then just have like a bar. Yeah. Something See, like Diablo that. Or unwrapping special legendary.
Yeah, right. What Diablo did in what Blizzard did in Diablo 3 later was basically make Kane do that
right.
in a patch.
It was right.
Like, identify all your stuff.
No, they should have it should be a three action thing. Like you click on it and you drag to the right and it pulls off like
password.
one flap and then you pull to the left and it pulls off the next flap and then you push up and it opens it up and shows you what the item is.
Then it has sparkles.
No, really, honestly, you have to do this quest and climb to this mountaintop to get the lore master identify it for you.
Only to find out it has spirit. And who needs spirit?
Right.
But it's only a 10-minute quest for each item, you know?
But going back to the loot in general, though, I would say that the problem with these games for me is that I don't really care about any particular item of loot. It's like I could almost you get so much of it in the game,
right?
Like they're just you just constantly are getting like these yellow items, and I feel like I'm just in my inventory all the time, mousing over all the items just to see what I want to equip. Then I equip them, and then I move on, and then like no item really feels special to me at all.
Well, and that's kind of where the game wears down for me, too, mm-hmm. is that I feel like I'm looking for a specific stat,
yeah.
and I could care less about everything else that passes mm-hmm. through. I think I'm not going to go, oh, well, this, you know, reconfiguring of all my stats improves me X amount. I'm going to go, oh, that has one number higher than I want. That's the one I'm going to put in there and ignore all the detail. The other stuff is just bonus stat.
Yep.
And it's, I don't want to spend all the time looking through the loot when I'm just looking for that one stat.
See, that's kind of what I like. They make that easy. That's what I like about it. It's like, I'm hovering over all items and just looking for a green DPS.
Right.
Why? They can make it easier. They can make it so that you just type in your stat of choice and then it just auto equips everything.
Budget title.
Well, see, I've always thought that that they're doing it wrong by having like the stats. You should just be like, I collect so much of the stuff, and then all of a sudden that stat goes up, right? It's not like I'm looking for the one item that has a stat. It's just like I'm collecting items, and then I push those into my existing items, and it just gets better. So I can pick my exact stat configurations, and then I just collect stuff to make those that part's better, rather than looking for an item that actually manages.
That's a different kind of game, though. That's a different kind of game.
It's still fighting and collecting.
I see that it's just kind of games where you build your weapon.
It doesn't have the randomness element, like the gambling
thing where mm-hmm. you don't know when you're going to progress. So someday you're going to get this major upgrade and you're not going to get any upgrade until then.
Well, yeah. I mean, on a per slot basis, but over all your slots, you're going to get some upgrades just all the time.
Right. Okay. So let's really, since we're talking about loot and this is a big part of this game, mm-hmm. let's talk about all the different mechanics of loot. And this is the part where I thought the game kind of fell down. And this is the user interface for modifying items. There are a lot of cool ways that you can modify items. Mm-hmm. You can socket in essences, mm-hmm. and some items will have an essence budget, and then you can socket in essences
that you find.
That you find up to the
budget.
And this is one of the good cool things. Like in Diablo, for example, you have gems, and Torchlight too, you have gems, and they go into your inventory and they take up inventory space. In this, you have a special inventory panel for all your essences, and it just never fills up.
Yep, it is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it can fill up.
But the problem, fill up?
Yes.
Really?
Things only stack up at 10, uh-huh. so once go beyond 10, they start to double up, and I'm storing essence in my stat, in my, you know, storage chest.
Okay.
There is a downside
by the
to
time
this.
The game is over and like before you get into the in-game loot grind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It right. hasn't filled up. It's only halfway for me.
I will say though, by doing that, they made it like I never wanted to go into that tab just because it was on a separate tab, and so I just kind of ignored it most of the time.
Okay.
And so I ended up all of my things that I'm like, "Oh, that's an item that takes essence." I'm just going to ignore it, you know, because I didn't want to spend the time looking through all my essences to equip stuff. So,
so you don't take advantage of your essence?
No, I didn't. Right, okay. No, I just ignored all those items.
Well, that's fair. I mean, there's so many mechanics mm-hmm. in this game. It's reasonable to me for people to ignore some.
Because for me, action RPG is also a game of min-maxing where you can.
Right.
And essence is just a form of min-maxing
mm-hmm.
your character. You're trying to increase your DPS, or in my case, up my magic find.
Right.
That's all. That's my primary stat, and my second character was no magic find.
Anyway, so I said this falls down, and I've talked only positively so far. But the actual task of managing these essences is worse than the Heraldic Cube. I hated the Heraldic Cube because you had to like open it up and drag stuff in, and like you had to get the right combinations, and then you create the one item, and then you take it out, and oh my god, too much pain. But this is like there's four different vendors that do the different types of things, and they're all spread across your layer, and they different tabs for doing different things, and you
have many different ways to customize your weapons.
You have many, which is good,
sorry, yes,
but there's just too much complexity to the actual process of getting it done.
And then don't you just replace it soon? Like I would always just find stuff like better weapons all the time.
When you get to the end game, when you're happy with a certain weapon and you're not finding a better one, you resort to this tinkering.
Yeah, but that's a flaw in the game, right? I mean, that means like a player like me, there's just all this extra stuff out there that I should just never use.
Yeah, or you have the extra funds or the essence lying around, you know, just improve the weapon you're currently equipped with.
Or
and then you find something better.
Progress the story and spend that same time actually moving forward instead of trying to min-max my crap that I'm just going to replace soon. I mean, that's the problem that I had.
That's prior to the in-game, but at the in-game...
I agree.
There's no progressing the story.
At the end game, that's true. But I mean, if you're not going to use these systems until the very end game, I mean, they're just kind of sitting there for the first 20 hours or whatever.
Or if you're playing at a higher difficulty level, you know, you're hitting these obstacles, you know, things, monsters are a little tough for you, and you got to kill them in order to get the better loot. So you have to improve your current equipment to deal with the monsters for them to drop better loot that you can later improve.
And you have so much money that I felt that it would be wasteful to not at least do some. Like the one thing I always did, and I didn't mess around so much with essences, and especially I didn't mess around with the forging of items.
Mm-hmm.
But I did always go to the
Enchantress,
and I would enchant and then disenchant and then enchant and disenchant and enchant and disenchant.
Yeah.
Just spend a bunch, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 until I got a thing that I wanted.
$10,000 to $20,000?
Oh, no, not 20. $100,000 to $200,000.
Yes. That's what made me broke. That's the only reason I was getting money was to go and look for those enchants for my weapons.
But, you know, it was kind of irritating to me because I didn't know what my options were.
So I'm like, I want critical hit chance. That was the thing that I was building most. And I would cycle through and then never see critical hit chance come up. So I'm like, either it doesn't, it can't be added to this item, or I'm never getting it.
Yeah, no, I, that part I don't understand. I feel the same way, too, because I was building a crit chance.
Right.
And I, when I run across something I'd settle for, I was like, okay, I'll settle for this instead of continually gambling my money away looking for that crit chance.
Right. And that's what I did a lot. I settled because I didn't. But I thought, you know, if you just go there and just spend the money, you're at least getting a stat.
Sure.
And it's making you better, making the game a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the number one problem that I encountered with the game is that the casual mode is too easy, and it didn't. It made it so that I would never have to use any of these like other.
Is that a difficulty mode?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I don't at know the beginning, you select your difficulty.
Yeah, you're right. There's casual for people entry. I forgot about it. Casual, normal. My first character started off in heroic, by the way.
Okay.
And I quit out of that because I didn't. It was too hard.
Okay.
I respawned like 10 times on the first batch of elites before you can get to town.
Right.
And I thought, okay, there's something wrong with this game here. But, you know, they say it's for experienced action RPGers, and like I'm getting stuck here. But
I also
think now I understand the game. I think I could be able to do it. But
I don't know how much my build had to do with like how successful I was in the game versus it sounds like you guys were building critical hit a lot.
Right.
Yeah. I was building only like protection and health,
right?
And lifesteal, like everything.
So you must
all
melee.
My stats were that. Yeah, I was melee. Okay. I decided I didn't want to do any range because I didn't like clicking on all the monsters. I just wanted to sit there and like hold my mouse button down next to me.
Lifesteal, is that a stat?
No, well,
it's ability.
HP per hit or lifesteal?
HP per hit.
Yeah,
okay, there's that's different than lifesteal.
Yeah.
But no, there's lifesteal as well.
Yeah. Okay, but.
But it's not a stat on a weapon.
Since we're talking about this, that was one of the stats I thought that was probably not balanced right, but really made the game good. HP per hit counts when you hit multiple people. It's like if you hit 10 people with an explosion, you get 10 times your HP per hit.
For sure. Yep. So you could just sit there like I do. I would just use my cleave ability. I only use two abilities in the whole game, which is normal hit and cleave. And you could just cleave through tons of guys, and then as long as you get the mana refresh and the health refresh one, then you just sit there and I don't know.
I replaced my normal attack.
The only time you're screwed is when the guys suck your mana out.
That's
those
true.
Guys are problematic.
But I didn't use a potion the entire game. That's how I built my.
But
guy.
You're also playing casual.
I know I was. So that, like I said, I couldn't tell how much of it was casual mode and how much of it was my build. I really couldn't tell.
Yeah, because I just let you know, I was playing a melee character the second time around, and I replaced my basic attack with bash as my left click.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, well, I focused on the basic attack or whatever.
Okay. You didn't really explore all the other skills or anything?
No, I looked at them, and then I decided that I was except I went all the way down the passive tree, and I built everything that I could on defense and stuff, and then I had those two other skills. Because those are the ones that I liked, and that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard to kill me.
Well, when are we going to talk about skills? Because Ricky and I have some complaints about that.
We definitely can get into skills. Sure. What were we talking about loot? Before I interrupted?
Loot. Oh, sorry. Loot mechanic. The enhancing and all that stuff?
Yeah. It's really just too many systems, and I didn't think that they added...
Yeah, I agree. There was just a lot of variety, so you didn't really know what to do.
And I like variety. I'm not saying that was a bad thing. I'm just saying that it was too hard to use these systems. You're right, Paul. Not really that much benefit to them.
I think you really have to get into I believe those are the tools for min-maxers. Because I didn't know about the. You know that engineer guy, how he can improve certain things?
Right.
He could improve your artifact forge. So that you can, put in another item so that combine these three items and make it a sword.
Yeah, see, that actually was a cool system. The Artifact Forge is like you combine the three items and then you can put in so you can get the type and you can put in so you can get the rarity.
Yeah.
So like you put in a legendary item and that's a sword and then you put in three legendary swords then you'll get a legendary sword that, put in those, the first ones are the stats. And
no, then the first bottom ones two are the rarity.
One's rarity, one...
No. You can only combine three of the same rarity items for the same rarity.
There are five slots.
Yeah. I only learned about this on my second playthrough. So the first one will lock the item type.
Okay.
And then the other one has to do with the stats.
Okay.
The fifth slot is stats. Like, you want to... I think. I never got that far.
Okay. And the other ones are rarity.
And the originally, when you start off the game, you put in three items of the same rarity, and you'll get a random item of the same rarity of the three items you put in.
But anyway, and that is a good system. That part makes sense to me, and mm-hmm. that's fine to be as complicated as it is. But the parts that I thought were clunky were like the essences, socketing that into a thing, or you're combining right. essences. You're right.
There's four tabs for just dealing with essences.
Why do you have to go to a vendor to deal with essences? Every other game lets you like
yeah.
split gems. I mean, Roger Cube again, but that notwithstanding, you know, games now let you combine things, especially like look at Path of Exile. You can just click on anything. And
that's a different kind of game, though. Yeah. Their skill set is different. But Diablo 3... You know,
what's the advantage Diablo of going 2. To the vendor? Why?
Diablo 2, when you put an item, a gem into a weapon, it's locked in. You can't take it out.
Right.
You have to do a single quest, I think, because you can only remove a quest. In Diablo 3, there was a vendor to remove gems for you.
Why?
I don't know. RPG is the role-play.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
No, this game is not role-play.
And there's so many...
There's Action so RPG many... equals progress quest.
I think so.
They're so like the loop is so intense. Like you do these things so many times mm-hmm. that I don't see the benefit. Like if I only ever took a gem out of a thing one time in my entire game, I would go to a vendor and be like, "That's just the guy that does it, and that makes sense." Mm-hmm. If I do it 300 times, the fifth time I go to the vendor, I'm like, why can't I just do this for my
yeah. or why do it? Like, I mean, it sounds like if you do it 300 times, then you're going to be doing it again with your new equipment, you know, 5 right. minutes later.
Mm-hmm. I'm more like, not a point. Sorry, are you done?
I would like to add okay. that I was trying to, like, while I was playing this game, I'm like, why did I like loot in WoW, but I don't like it in this game? Like, what's the reason? And I think it's just too common. Like,
You know, care more about your character in WoW as well.
No, I care more about like, okay, you know, I'm going to play with my friends and we're going to play for 3 hours. And look, you know, there's this dungeon and I can look through, you know, all the loot that gets mm-hmm. dropped. And I can be like, okay, that's the item that I want. I want to, you know, target that boss. We'll go kill him. I'll try to get that specific loot. This game does not play like that whatsoever. It's yeah. more like, you know, just random crap drops. And so you never know what you're going to get. And so you never have, like, I don't have a long-range plan, and loot doesn't seem very special because it just drops all the time.
I blame that on the random number generator. It's always my problem with things, and that's why I've suggested an alternative already in this podcast. You don't know what you're going for.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. you're not excited to get there. Like, you're not working towards a goal. You're working to, like, hopefully someday get rewarded, or maybe never. You don't know.
Right.
When do you mm-hmm. stop playing? You don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, that problem existed with, you know, Diablo
almost
2.
Everyone, yes.
Yeah, like Diablo 2, like you had to turn to external resources to see how to, you know, where can my character progress, and I had to research that, see what's out there. And it's like, oh, the Windforce bow, that's a great bow. I want that bow.
Right.
Time to do what bosses drop that bow. Okay, let's grind them 2,000 times.
Right.
Oh, didn't get another 2,000. But anyways,
but yeah, but that sounds more like the WoW thing that I was mm-hmm. talking about. I mean, I can kind of understand that. There's still a certain segment of the game I don't understand, which yeah. is like the you know, the treadmill that lasts forever.
Yeah, see, the WoW is great because you devote like 3 hours at a time, and each drop, even though this boss drops like four things, so each one is epic. You know, each one means a lot, and you're competing for it with other people. Like, oh, it's my turn to take this.
But it also has a ticket system. More. At least the latest version, mm-hmm. you know, the later versions of WoW have the ticket yeah. system, so that eventually, you know, you'll get reward, and you can buy, you know, select items that you know exist already, you know, from a vendor.
Right. I think, you know, you're what you crave, Paul, is the social aspect of loot.
Maybe. I think it's more like I like plans, and I like making long-range plans. It's the same kind of thing like when I make a deck in Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. I like to, like, look at all the cards and try to figure out, like, exactly what I want. But I can't do that with this game. It's just all, you know, all the loot's very random, and so mm-hmm. I just don't even really engage with it.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of why I like this game, too. It's because... Your skills, for me, I felt like my skills are what determine my character, not my loot.
Right.
That's the, mm-hmm. you know, that, again, I compared to Diablo 3. Diablo 3 was, unfortunately, all about the loot, about just the DPS, things that will increase your DPS. Here, I felt like my choice and my my skill allocation mattered a lot in how my character performed.
Well, I thought that, you know, one of the things that was interesting about the game was that there was no class system. You know, that you are, well, with the exception DLC, of the yeah. DLC characters, right?
Yeah.
You go into the game, there's Van Helsing. That's it. He just,
He does anything Van Helsing can do. And it's up to you to build his spec to make him into a DPS character or a ranged crit character or a spellcaster or whatever.
Yeah.
And you pick loot that complements that class. But it's...
Van Helsing,
he's not a specific class. He's just whatever you make him into.
Yeah, and with his equipment, you're just looking for the stats, the base stats that help you in that regard, and in how you build your character.
I mean, it is a little bit his skills. I mean, it's a synergy, right? There's you're improving your lightning damage, and you're using lightning spells. And he wouldn't be very good with just using lightning spells if he didn't have the stats to improve lightning damage.
Yeah.
So that makes him a lightning spellcaster, both of those working together. But he also is not a very good melee guy if he's got improved lightning damage. So it's not like that necessarily makes him a lightning spellcaster. So, I mean, it's a synergy between the two sides. And, yeah, I totally agree. It's like in Diablo 3, you know, you... wanted just DPS. You just agility.
You're right. It's just primary stat in Diablo 3. Stats don't mean anything.
Did you increase more than one stat? Like, or did
I did with did? I did a 3-1-1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like with my range character, I did one body, three dex, and one luck. I ignore willpower in that one, and with my melee guy, I went three body, one willpower, one luck. Ignoring dex.
Yeah, I had Katarina I think had more interesting choices than me, because I tend to play kind of passively. I don't like a lot of options. I don't like to have to push a lot of different buttons, so I kind of played the same way you did.
Me too.
I had my attack and I had my area attack, and then I had like an escape mechanism of dash.
Yep.
And I even played with specials that queued off of having full rage, so I'm like, never spend my rage.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Like, yeah, I got 180% critical bonus damage when I had 90% or more rage. So I'm never going to spend my rage, because I always want that extra 200% damage from a crit.
And this game I liked because I felt like it was more skill-based. I was clicking and reacting a lot with all the hotkeys. I was using
Your rage?
I was using rage and tricks and auras. Oh, I didn't use any auras. I used my tricks.
You didn't use any auras?
No, they're default. Well, they're just stuck in there. Well, okay.
You have magic two find spots, aura. Right?
Oh, yeah. Magic Find. Magic right. Find. Okay. And then the second was a bonus crit chance when you first... No, that's a perk, sorry. I don't know what it was for my Magic Find guy.
I think...
Oh, sorry. It was cooldown on my tricks.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and then on my melee guy, it was a life leech. And get health whenever you spend rage.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I have auras equipped. I don't think any aura is actually active, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both just passives. The auras are just passive abilities.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
Sorry. When I said aura, they are called auras. Sorry.
I'm trying to think of what other aura I had. I didn't have the magic find one. I had the one
max
where...
range one. Max rage one. That's an aura.
Oh, that's an aura? Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's the one.
That's a starting one.
And then I also had one where if guys are more than 10 meters from you,
you get bonus damage. Yeah.
Though that one was really hard to use, and I have no idea how far 10 meters is in the game.
So you were ranged then?
Yes.
Okay.
I never used the other one.
Oh my God, I was a point blank range guy.
I got a question for you. Like, the stats in, like, I never knew what to do with my, my ranged weapon because I didn't use it.
Uh huh.
So, I mean, if you just use it for stats,
They help you.
They do. Okay.
But if you have a legendary item in your melee weapon, the kills only count if you get it with the weapon.
Yes, that made it very hard to power up.
Yes.
But the weapon sword I have has 50 essence, and it's enchanted, so it's providing me over 70% magic find.
It's pretty awesome. But yeah, I always had just like the best sword I could find that had high crit chance, and that was all I put in there. And I never worried about any other stats that... It had. But like Katarina, I was giving her luck, and then I started giving her magic find, because luck sucks for her converting it to magic find.
Yeah, but every little bit helps.
Yeah, but if you just give her like pure magic find, it's always better.
But she caps out.
Does she?
Yes. She only gets she gets 10 points max in certain skills and 8 in some of the others. I don't remember, magic find might just be, I don't know if it's a 10 or 8. But you're right.
Not skills. I'm talking about stats.
stats.
Like you give her luck, or you give her plus 10% magic find chance.
Okay, you're talking. Okay, that's stats via items,
right?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about skill allocation.
No, yeah, I don't know if I got around to giving her the magic find stats. I was still more focused on like increase, you know, absorbs damage from Van Helsing and causes his ranged attacks to be more powerful. All the passive ones.
I know. My second Katarina was all body because she had the skill to suck up damage for Van Helsing.
Mm-hmm. I didn't need that. She heals fast and she doesn't ever take more damage than I do. So,
but she never has any potions. Right. Well, I don't know.
She does. She chugs a lot of potions too.
No, well, if you cast your healing spell, she gets healed by that.
Yeah.
Level one heal only heals for like 100.
Times your spell power.
And 140. Well, once again, I don't pump my range guy doesn't pump anything into willpower. Okay. That was my weak set. And she was my tank too. I had her. My melee guy was, she was a ghost. My range guy, she was a tank. And she died fast. But she had 19% chance to stun folks with her attacks.
Nice. So let's talk about...
skills.
Skills, okay. Sure.
Well, Ricky said, there's the four skill buttons is tough when there are more than 8 skills you want to use. And then...
Did not have that problem.
Yeah.
Well, he played the... who was it?
Arcane Mechanic.
Arcane Mechanic, maybe.
Which we have no idea.
Oh, yeah, true. Because for me, I actually did feel like I was limited on skills. I felt like the game only limited me to 2 skills.
2?
Yeah, left click, right click.
Oh,
no. And
then 1, 2, 3, 4. But I don't, that's one of the complaints. Is I like to play with,
ASDF.
ASDF, WE,
right.
WQE.
R, you couldn't remap it?
And 1, 2, 3, 4. I think those, I didn't really explore remapping it. I just stuck with what they had because of Rage. There's a thing about Rage, too. Oh, that's why. Because
Rage is so annoying.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Here's I like Rage. I was doing a lot of different things with Rage when I fight bosses. I mean, there's the preset Rage, push space bar, and then you have your preset Rages, and then there's manually assigning Rage points with the Q, W, E.
No, Q it's potion. Q is drink a
potion.
Okay, so it's drink a mana potion. It's ASD.
Anyways, one of those three set of keys, right? One might be potions. You're right. I think the potions are over there somewhere. But then the other three keys, it could be ERT that control. So
what you're saying is
Rage
remapping keys is hard.
I didn't remap keys. I just felt like they didn't give me many options. Yeah, like if I was going to remap the manually assigned Rage points, where would I put that next?
Right.
I don't know. Because
So anyways, when you hit spacebar, what does it do?
It automatically assigns Rage.
Did you see the button that says set combo in your interface?
No.
Okay, so if you click that, then you get to pick 3 Rage points that you want, like an arrangement of Rage.
3-1 or like 1-1-1.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
And when you press spacebar, it just instantly spends those and puts them into your attack.
See. Hey, let's talk about skills in more detail, like this Rage mechanic here.
Okay,
let's talk about Rage.
That's what I liked about this game too. Is that not only do you have these, generic skills, right? You can fine tune them by expending another resource called Rage that do something different, which could, increase stun duration, increase damage, increase AOE, depending on how you want to allocate those extra Rage points into these skills.
How do you get Rage, Anthony?
Well, no, and when you buy the skills from the skill tree, you have to buy these add-ons too to improve your options.
You know? Oh, yeah. So when you buy the skill, in order to unlock these Rage options, you have to spend a skill point.
Right.
At least, unfortunately, it only costs 1 for the skills.
Right.
Because some skills require 2 or 3 to unlock and level up, but the add-ons will always be 1 skill. And then once you buy these add-ons, in-game, when you're fighting, you accrue Rage by killing monsters, and then you have this resource, and then you could allocate up to 3 Rage points. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how much... I don't know how much these Rage points cost for the skills. That's one complaint I have about the game too. But anyway, so like increase its AOE, increase the damage, or increase the example I used earlier, stun duration. And I could devote all 3, or split all 3, so that I could do that. My 1 attack will do all 3 of these, or just increase damage, 150% instead of 50%.
Yeah, I wanted to get more into that because I thought that this would make the game more interesting than just clicking and killing. But I never did because I had that stupid passive.
You were locked by your...
Locked by my passive.
Yeah, I can tell you it did not make the game more interesting. And that's just because I felt like, you know, you would accumulate this rage and then you would use it once and then you just go back to killing monsters again. I mean, for the most part, and it didn't... Again, this is probably because I was on casual mode, but it didn't really just seem to affect very much.
Well, I found that generally to be true, too, because, like, I would, you know, have this... I had my area of effect attack, and I would use it until mm-hmm. I ran out of mana, and then I'd just go back to normal attack. And yep. It's like there's so much to kill that you just have to...
Yeah.
There's no amount of... Like, you can't get spiky and do a really good job and clear the area... There's just always going to be something else.
What's your AoE attack?
It's the burst one, the physical damage.
Oh, it's just the basic second damage?
Skill, yeah. So there's the first skill is just a normal attack that does like 200% damage.
I know. Here's my problem with right when I built my Rage guy. You know, one of the add-ons was to add AoE to your basic attack, range attack.
Really?
Yeah, it was. So I was like, oh,
this. Yeah, but you only get to use it once when you have Rage, and then
right.
you only get to use it as long as you have Rage. Again.
Well, yeah, or you have a lot. You can actually build up your rage, so you could do, you know, go through a burst of, you know.
Well, that is something in the tree. Is like you can make A, rage cost less, and B, rage generate faster, and C, you actually have a higher capacity for rage.
Yeah,
that's one of the things in the ranged tree that you can do.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem is like, yeah, I splooge on a boss, and now I'm stuck with no rage, and so I feel a little bit weaker. But anyways, yeah, that's why I invested in this AoE ability, and then the second skill further down the tree is just pure AoE, exploding shot.
Right.
And then I was using that, and like, oh, that replaced. I don't use rage in my basic attack anymore. I just pump up max damage for my basic attack. Then you never experimented with the scatter shot, the last ability in that tree?
No. Okay. It just didn't seem to add anything. This was like, this is a expensive skill. It went like 100 mana.
Yeah, but
and I mean, never put points in willpower, so I'm like, I've got no mana.
But I don't know. I don't put points in willpower, but I still had like 300, 400 mana just from my items and everything.
Right.
And then when you use it, and you have some mana leech or something like that, when you use it... I didn't get
mana leech until like the last level.
I feel like I got to show you
how... I had this all the time. This is great.
I want to show you how Scattershot works. It's just awesome. It's better than the AoE. It pierces, and it can... Well, it crits. That's what... I like about it too. And it's shotguns. I mean, like.
Well, the AoE crits.
AoE crits, yeah, but this thing can shotgun. If you look at the damage on this, right? Uh-huh. Each shot can hit the same target. So on a boss, you go up right next to a boss, and then, you know, you hit him 9 times with this one weapon.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
But if 9 times? That's nice.
Well, what's five or nine.
What's the damage percentage? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. Was it lower or higher than the AoE one?
Remember that? I don't remember that either. Okay.
Because I know that the basic attack is significantly higher than the normal, mm-hmm. than the area effect attack, but I don't know.
Just what happened is I experimented, I went down the tree, and then it converted me to switching away from my AoE to this.
I felt like I would have gone... is 30 the level cap, just out of curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I felt like I would have started exploring after like level 35. Felt like I didn't have enough stats points to put all the stats I wanted to get by the time I was done with the character. And then after that, I would have started going, okay, now I've gotten everything I want. Let's try other things.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to, for the podcast, I wanted to experiment with different builds.
Right.
But I didn't want to. I don't know why I said, I'm not going to respect my first character. I'm just going to build a second character.
Well, respecting is trivially cheap, though, too. I went back to look at it. It was like $5,000.
$5,000 per point.
Per point?
Per point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it's not the one-time thing. No. $5,000 per point. So if you want to get all your points back, yeah, it's still cheap. I mean, I don't know. Like my level 30 character had 10 million by the time I stopped. But my melee guy, you know, I actually went explored the skills and didn't like it. I would respect it a lot with my melee guy to try a different.
So curiosity, is there like a character bank like you can transfer between characters?
Yeah, that storage box is shared amongst
every
character in your account, regardless of a difficulty level.
Okay. Yeah, I did not explore all the options. And that's the thing, is there are a lot of options. And I would have liked to explore more.
I wanted to have a better understanding of the game than I ended up with, but I don't really want to go back and explore more.
Yeah. I felt like I wanted to try Magic out because I didn't give it a fair chance.
I didn't either.
But when I did invest some points, I regretted it instantly. It's like so much mana expended and it's all based on spell power.
It's hard to move around too, because then you're like, you've got to rebuild your skills. Like, you could change him into a totally different character, but you're not going to have the equipment to complement
it. I think that's where you're right about, you know, the synergy between the equipment and your character build.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about gameplay mechanics we like. This is something I wanted to talk about. The hit detection on this. Like, where you click the mouse? What did you think of that?
Yeah, no, I'm guessing you have trouble hitting little guys.
I do, but in this game, it's not so bad, because you can kind of just click anywhere, and it'll target whatever you're kind of near.
No, that's one of the complaints I had. It was like, I hate targeting little guys, especially with range.
Most action RPGs, you have to click on the character you want to shoot. In this game, you can just hold down the mouse, and it'll shoot the guys that you're kind of aimed at. And it'll target those people, and like, if your target dies, it'll switch to a new target.
You're not holding down shift, are you?
No.
See, you're just holding down the button, right?
Right.
See, this is the only problem, okay? So
that goes back to Paul, right? He's like, this game's too easy and boring.
No, I just mean, like, what are you playing? But anyway.
No, but I'm irritated when I'm shooting the gun and your target slips off just a little bit.
And you start running towards them?
Yeah, you start running towards them.
That happens to me in Van Helsing.
Well, if
can't you just hold shift?
You push the button.
That's what I have to do. But, that's why I like Scattershot. I don't have to aim.
This is a difference, I think, between when you're doing it. If you push the button and there's no guy, you miss and you run towards him. If you're holding the button and your guy dies and there's a new target, it switches over and doesn't just run over.
Automatic strafing, in a way?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, it's like you still want to be attacking. There's still a target. We'll just keep attacking that target. Okay. You can get really far off. Like,
here.
I'm like a quarter of the screen away, and I'm still shooting the right guy.
So maybe I know about, you know, once you lock onto a target, you can stay on that target. And what I don't like about range attacks, and it's kind of good in a way, like, guys will get in the way of your attacks. They will block shots. Minions will block shots in this. But I think if
mines will block shots.
Oh yeah, that's annoying too. And it's hard for me to target those stupid mines. Okay,
right.
I run towards
the
mines. It was
hard for the mines too.
I run towards those mines.
Wait, if you have to click, it's hard to hit something small. Mm-hmm. But if you're just holding down, you're getting targeted.
So if I had known about this mechanic then and gotten used to it, I probably would have, you know, I'd be less frustrated with this the classic targeting method I had.
Yeah,
because some targets were so tiny, it was really annoying.
I've never seen this in another game where you can just, like, I mean, each game has kind of their thing where if you're holding down the mouse, you don't have to still be on the person. Mm-hmm. But when that person dies, it's done.
To re-click.
Right, or you have to hold shift and, like, hold yourself into the right place. But this is great. I loved it. It made it so easy to fight hordes of monsters, and you do fight hordes of monsters.
Yeah,
for sure.
Telling you, Scattershot. They just
don't stop sometimes. Like, I hate it when, like, you're running around and you're like, you know, and you're like trying to go someplace, but then you just drag in this random horde of monsters and you have to, like, okay, I gotta fight them, you know, before I can move on as well. And then, you know, you end up getting at some other horde and it just keeps piling up and you're just like, okay, I gotta kill these people.
More loot. More damage numbers on the screen. I love that.
Yeah, I didn't like that the whole, like, I felt kiting was a significant part of my strategy, and it sucked when I went into a new level because there was nowhere to go.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I had to, like, wade through a few hard battles, and then it got easier and easier the further I went in.
Yeah, that's one of the scenarios.
What?
the highest level scenario.
Uh-huh.
I'm a range guy, right? I like to do the kiting. Well, the monsters are level 33 or level 35, and you're in a small city. You're in
Borgovia?
The part of Borgovia where all the rats pour out and everything. The sewers?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Sewers, before you go in the sewers.
Uh-huh.
In that map, right, it's small alleyways and everything.
Right.
And you're already dealing with these hordes of monsters who are 5 levels higher than you and have a lot of health, so they don't insta-die to my crits.
Right.
So I was like, oh, shoot. And so I got to hit them multiple times, but I have no room to run away. Except if I get around them, I can trigger More hordes.
That's what my build excels.
Yeah, you just stand there and take it.
That's all I do.
So when that rat thing happened, by the way, did you notice any slowdown?
Rat thing happened.
Yeah, do you remember a section of that city where all hordes and hordes of rats came out and like just out of nowhere they just came? And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it wasn't just like a group of rats that was there. It's like they appeared on the screen.
They start pouring out of the walls and doors and everything. Right. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
Did it? So it didn't chug for you?
No.
Oh,
it didn't for me either.
For when that happened, my game got like just like a slideshow. And
oh,
like,
wow.
You know, I could barely see what was going on. Almost died. I'm surprised I didn't die. I just held on the button. I'm like, I hope I'm shooting them. And I killed them because I had the AOE and they're all really weak. But yeah, it's basically just a slideshow. And anytime Katarina would leave and come back, there'd be like this slight pause when she came back because it would be like loading a new sound effect that it hadn't played before.
Oh.
And I just felt like there were lots of little things where like new events happened that the game got really slow. Mm. You didn't have that experience?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I did play on a laptop and my PC at home. Now on the laptop, it was just slower in general.
There's a lot of...
I never had anything based on like what was on the screen.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. There's a lot of performance options in the... Well, options. Like you turn off shadows, water effects, you know. Well, I don't know. Those are typical games. Did you turn that off? No, I kept mine pretty high.
Did you... did you guys at all realize if you're running 32-bit or 64-bit?
No.
Because we're slipping now kind of into performance. I don't know if you're done talking about skills. Are you done talking about skills?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about the performance of the game, because I had a lot of problems. The last day I played it, the game disappeared from Steam. It says I have to install it.
Whose fault is that, though?
I don't know whose fault. I'm not blaming anyone necessarily. But it's still installed on my machine, but Steam says I have to install it. And so I had to go into the directory. And in the directory, it's Van Helsing X86 and Van Helsing X64.
Ooh.
So I ran the 64, and it still took forever to load up. But then, like, transitioning between areas is super fast. And I'm like, if I've been running the 32-bit, that's bad. But anyway, I just...
Weird.
I wonder know there was that option.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know how you would specify that option or if there was a launch option or anything. I don't know.
I did find the loading times to be kind of long, though.
Ridiculously long. Yes. And it's not just...
The first load up and then each load up between areas.
If you died, which you did never die... You had the option of
dead once, just didn't use a
respawning, or going back to your lair and respawning for free,
or going paying half price or a smaller portion to go to a checkpoint.
Right, but if that going back and getting for free, there's an opportunity cost there of you have to load the lair and then load back into the level. Two loading sequences twice. That is a punishment. That is a harsh, harsh punishment.
That's why you can get out of it with gold.
Yeah, that's why you can get out of it with gold.
Yeah, no, I did have a problem with the main screen where it would lock up. When I'm trying to select my character, and the game would lock up, and I'd wait. Sometimes it recovers. Other times I just X out, and we have to reload the game.
I found when I alt-tabbed out, it would change to like the loading screen. Like, did you get that?
Yeah, and when you came back, it would be in the loading screen. I found it's that if I skipped videos in the beginning, it would show the loading screen, but still play the audio of the video. And then, like, it would skip after a little bit.
I play windowed mode.
Gloria said that the windowed mode had seemingly better performance, but he's not sure if it actually was a real thing. I mean, he didn't benchmark it or anything, but he felt like it worked better.
Okay, I don't know. I just played windowed mode by default. And what was weird was if I were to like click outside of my window, the game would minimize by itself. Which is okay, but I'd want to rather have it be in the background. Like, fortunately, the game pauses, though. It doesn't continue to run.
Right. So did anyone crash? Or no, not crash, but lose sound?
No.
No.
That's another thing that happened to me all the time. Like sometimes it would be loading, and then it would play like this. And then when it would load into level, there'd be no sound.
Oh, that's probably because of the rats. It's those darn rats again. They're messing with your game, your graphics, and your sound.
So this game is 20 gigs.
Oh, oh my God. I didn't notice that.
Why is it so big? It's a 9 gigabyte download, but it was 21 gigs on disk.
Oh, I don't know. I see a lot of assets. You know, a lot of characters, a lot of the dialogue. Everyone talks.
Right?
You know,
yeah, the, could no, be sound.
Non-quest. Everyone talks. It's not
21 gigs. Usually, yeah, the, pretty small.
No, no, no. I'm saying, you know, like, and there's, I don't know, there's a lot of...
21 gigs of MP3s. Art.
Yeah, a lot of. I think there's a lot of assets. A lot. I mean, of
can you turn crank it up? Is like everything super detailed? I didn't. I even don't try. Know. It,
the graphics, like they seem good to me, but at the same time, they kind of. I don't know.
Really? Did it? Like I felt like the whole thing kind of felt dated a little bit.
Really? Zoom in. I mean, it's got a lot of details.
Nah,
in it.
It has I'm just a lot saying, of detail, like, but it doesn't have a like. Maybe the art direction just wasn't there.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It just felt like it was Diablo 2 art direction.
Right.
Really? I felt like it was much better than Diablo 2. It's 3D models and everything. You zoom in, you can see all the details.
Well, I'm not the saying, are kind I of just bland, meant the style.
I think it was pretty cool. Better than Titan Quest.
I did think they had, I don't know, I did think they had a fair amount of detail. And I thought that there was a fair amount of variety. But I just, like, I looked at the characters and, like, he doesn't look like he belongs in this world. He feels like he's placed on this world, and maybe the lighting isn't right. I don't know. It's just there was a quality level to the maybe, whole art experience.
That yeah, it wasn't could be satisfying. That I'm playing. You know, by playing windowed mode, you know, things are smaller, so there's maybe a loss of detail in windowed mode or something. Maybe I play it in full screen and everything is blown up, maybe more pixelated. I'd probably see what you guys are seeing.
Huh.
I didn't have a. I thought the graphics were actually. Pretty good.
So, other, you know, I'm looking at my list of things that happened to me while I was playing. Missing animations, like I stunned a werewolf, and no, the werewolf stunned me, and there was no like animation for that attack. It just happened. Like, the guy was standing still, and I don't know. I don't even remember what that was. It says missing animations, werewolf stun attack. Gollum, when he died, he kept saying, "My precious." The whole time I was on the map, he was saying, my precious." He was dead.
No. I think I think it's by moving over to that point.
Yeah,
that
wherever he was.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Just, oh, I that happened to me.
When the ghost is gone, you can't close her window.
You can't close her window.
You never can't interact it. With her window.
No, when no, she's no, gone. No.
Yeah,
this is consistent with you.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You can. There's one way to close it, and I forget what it was. I think it's clicking on her picture. You can click on her picture to close it. But the window itself, you can't close.
Oh, weird. Like, do you ever use O to open
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always use O.
Okay, and you can't close it with the O.
Maybe, I don't remember. I'll have to do that test. Yeah. But, like, you can't click on the X to close it. Like, you can't, the window becomes inoperable while she's gone.
Oh, it's kind of weird. I have this other problem that... Like, if I have the window open and I close it and then I send her to the store, her window will open up again. It's like, I wanted to close it. I didn't want, you know, I already closed it. Send her to shop and it opens up again. All grayed out. That's one little complaint.
Let's see. What else do I have to think? You know, the one gameplay thing that I didn't like about this game was actually the large groups and the spiky damage. Like, fighting guys at ranged, there could be guys off the screen attacking you, and you can't retaliate to that. And there could be a lot of guys fighting you off the screen.
Oh, those machine soldiers?
Those machine soldiers, especially guys with the spit poison. I don't know. I feel like there needs to be some sort of mechanic, some sort of balance, if you will, to all this, like, the quantity of people. Because, like, sometimes you'll just walk up to a group and die. Like, you're just like, take so much strike. I had no idea I was walking into that.
Huh.
You didn't run into that at all, huh?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Part maybe of me my felt survivability like and my build was not very good. You never had this problem.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I just built my guy for 100% survivability.
Yeah, so one of my skills that I use all the time is the sprint skill you unlock.
Right.
You know, dash out of trouble.
Right.
And I do use it a lot, especially against guys. My death stance is usually the guys with grapple.
Right.
They pull you in and you're stunned for a few set moments. And
yeah, and the stuns, there's no way to get out of any of the stuns.
No.
Like the frost trap, the claw that locks over your body. Mm. Those things, just you just have to survive them.
Yep. Yep.
There's no escape mechanics.
The claw, the bone cage.
Yeah.
What you're talking about. Yes. Like, I can't sprint out of that. But when they set up walls, you can sprint through those.
Also, you can break the walls. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
You could shoot them and just break them down. Or attack them with your
sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they block your shot and
right
when you try to shoot somebody.
But still, it's, you know, it gives you an option, which is nice in the combat, because that sort of thing is common in Diablo 3, and there's just these walls are impassable, and it's irritating. And maybe that's not the best balance, but that was, you know, just another thing I liked.
Did you like, I mean, anyone ever play with a stopping time mechanic skill?
No.
Mm-mm.
That was a really interesting.
The bubble where you can move a little bit.
Yes.
It ticks down. Yeah, I read about that,
I read it too, right?
It only ticks down while you're doing something.
Yes. So yeah. When you cast it, it's not ticking down. You can rearrange your inventory.
Right. You can go in your inventory, you do all that stuff.
You can chug a potion. You can wait for your cooldowns to go down on your heal skill and use it, but that'll tick it down. So I thought it was really cool, like the way it freezes the game. Like I even tried, like, okay, that big gargantuan is shooting at me with a cannonball, freeze time, and the projectile stopped in there. And you can move around and swing and attack people. But that's awesome. And so it's playing my melee, my survival ability, surviving mechanic for melee is using sprint and time stop and the ethereal mode. Because I'm also playing my melee guy on the next difficulty level.
So I know Paul's answer to this. Did you take the perk that lets you respawn once every 3 minutes?
Oh, second chance?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe in defeatist mentality.
I took that one and relied on it. Maybe I just build for survivability. And
if I was playing hardcore, I'd probably take it.
That was required. I felt like there was so many times when I just died. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I need to approach this combat better. And I'm so glad that that skill existed.
See, that's why I didn't go ranged. I figured there'd be too much skill involved, and like I wouldn't be able to handle it. So I just instead chose the hold down the mouse next to them method.
So what about the bosses? I've written down that the spider boss is so dumb, he just stands there, and I heal and walk away, then come back. I don't remember the spider boss at all.
Me neither. In fact, I don't remember too many
bosses.
The
giant spider gargantuan
that summons
spiders? Who wrote that?
I wrote that. And I don't remember the spider boss at all. But apparently, he just stood there. I could walk away, heal, and come back and kill more spiders and then come back. And maybe he summons spiders.
That, I think reasonable. That's all he does is summon spiders. And I think that's all it does. Yeah. He doesn't actually attack you. I'm trying to remember, too. But
he doesn't move?
He does move around this map, but he doesn't actually walk up to you and swing at you. That's what I'm remembering. I think the problem here is he's summoning spiders. He might do something else.
Like, and I can just take the spiders out, maybe. That was why it was so trivial. Is because
I mean, all these bosses, they have to summon little guys so that you can build rage. For me, I need rage. Yeah, but no. Shoot.
Anyway, don't worry about it. The point is that I wasn't impressed with that boss. The only other boss I can remember is like a worm that came out of the wall.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
See, okay, so that worm that came out of the boss. I mean, the worm that comes out of the wall, and you have to basically zap him to weaken his defenses.
Right.
So, well, that's how I beat him the first time.
There's an achievement for not doing that, right?
So yeah, I learned about the achievement for not doing for doing that. You can't earn it in scenario mode because he's the boss in one of the scenarios.
Okay.
So in my second playthrough, a melee guy, he has this ability. One of the rage points is to decrease their boss's health by 30% with 3 rage points. And it works on the boss.
What?
Yeah. You know, he's 10,000 awesome. Hit points. I do 3,000 damage with 3 rage points.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See? Balance. Bad, fun, no, high.
Promise. I got him down to I got him down to 500 hit points.
Uh-huh.
All right, I was like, okay, now I'm going to go build up some rage to come back and finish him off. And he died.
What did he die to?
I don't know. I did not get the achievement.
Katarina, no?
No, she's a ghost.
Oh, ghost, yeah.
Oh, ghost. No, she doesn't reflect damage. She absorbs damage. So, yeah, I don't know what he died to. I was really bummed. It's like, and, of course, this one of my biggest complaints about this game is that there's no redos. This game is a single-player game that progresses.
Right.
For a bit, I thought that, like, you know, like if I quit the game, I would have to find, you know, the map would reset and I have to find the waypoints again.
Right.
So that's why I left my game running for long periods of time. Then I learned, like, oh my gosh, you quit the game and re-come back in, you're right where you left off.
Right.
Monsters don't respawn, so you can't do anything. I mean, in the single-player game, it's
No, I response. Love that you could quit and monsters don't respawn and all that, but I can see where your point.
Really? I thought monsters did respawn sometimes.
No. Nope. Monster, there's things that generate monsters, but yeah.
That must have been it. Because, I mean, I know, like, I would come back to places a lot later and there would be monsters.
Nope.
There.
I finished off this boss in some unknown method and I can't kill him again.
So the last boss I thought was good, except that he really irritated me. I was really frustrated with it and I'm like, I was not having fun. I think they just needed a little bit more explanation. Because what happens in the last boss is he gets into this robot and then he spawns wolves and copters and they chase you around the map. And they're infinitely respawning. So you've got to shoot these copter spawners and wolf pens in order to get them to stop spawning.
Yep.
However, I didn't realize that they existed. I saw his like little shield recharging thing, and I killed all of those, and then I just ran around for like 20 minutes killing enemies. I'm like, when am I going to get rid of enemies so I can actually shoot him? Because like I was just getting in pet like one shot every few.
Yeah.
Every like 30 seconds, I would get like one attack on him, and then I'd be overwhelmed, and I'd have to run away. And I'm like, oh my god, this is going to take forever, because these guys will not stop spawning. And I was ready to quit, and then randomly clicked on one of the copter spawners.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What is that? It's just like this innocuous thing in the background. Like, that the copter thing? Oh, okay, I get it now. And then it was, you know, then I understood what I had to do and it was fun, but it was getting really frustrating.
If you're running around trying to kill all the little guys, I can see how frustrating it can be. For me, it's like, yeah, like, you know, his shield is recharging. Okay, there's something recharging his shield and I'm looking for that. And that's how I found those. I literally saw the werewolves running out those dens.
Well, so, I saw them too. I just didn't connect then, that they were.
And then they have a health bar. I don't know. I display health bars on all my enemies. Do you have that turned on?
I don't think so.
Off by default.
Okay.
So when still I'm off. Hitting, yeah. So I will see. You know, those things. I think they have a health bar. But yeah. I mean,
the health damage bar comes up on the top, like the big bar for those things.
Okay. Anyways, but yeah, I found it early, and I was like, but for me though, I mean, I like killing those guys. But you're right. There's just too many of them. I don't need that much rage. But there's too many of them where they are. Inhibiting my ability to fight the boss.
Right.
And then I learned there is an achievement for fighting the boss without taking out any of those things.
How that? Oh my god, that would be so painful.
Yeah.
I mean, though, Paul could do it because he just stands there and punches
him. Maybe. You fill up the screen.
I know, for me, it's like that shield. Like, you also have to get through that shield that regenerates.
Yeah, on top right.
Of health. So I'm like, well, see,
if you're doing
tough.
Your AoE, you're just killing the guys off before they, and they'll keep respawning. But you know,
your AoE equals cleave, right?
Yeah,
cleave is too weak for me. That's a percentage. Your less than 100% of your attack power.
Anyway, I thought that was cool. I just thought that I needed a hint that was going to happen to avoid frustration, and it wasn't there. This is the last thing really I have to say. What do you think of the tower defense section?
You're talking about the inside the secret lair?
Yeah. When you had to build traps and protect the guys and stop them from getting to the lair?
It
didn't feel... Well, go ahead.
No, it came from left field. I didn't really enjoy it. And then when I learned there's achievements, I'm like, oh, I would have tried harder.
Right. I felt the same way. I'm like, I actually did try harder, but because I knew about the achievements already, but I'm like... Oh, I want to do it again because I didn't get the achievement.
See? No redos. Right?
No redos.
Who cares about achievements? But
but no, I'm like, I can do this better. I want to play this game again. And that's really what I felt. I'm like, wow, I like that. I want to do that part again and get loot and get better and play that game again.
You just play 10 hours of the story first to get to that point with a new character.
Right. So, that said, they're making that game.
Are they really?
Oh. Yeah.
I just want the achievement without playing the game again. But
I don't know. I felt like
it was one chance.
Just kind of out of place in the game.
Yeah. And well, see, that's the thing. This whole game is like everything in the kitchen sink.
Right.
There's just so many features and different things.
Well, if it's in Diablo 2, it's in there. But,
but it's Diablo 2, Diablo 3. I mean, Torchlight. Well, it's
exactly.
Anything action RPG. Well, there's these thing mechanics.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think they've changed that much since Diablo 2, to be honest. But anyway, except for this part. This part was different. The first time I did it, I'm like, Who's that like werewolf guy helping me? Like, what the heck is going on here?
I had no idea it was a trap.
What the heck? And I didn't even realize it was kind of like a in tower defense kind of thing. It just seemed like you were let go into the bottom portion of the secret lair, and you're supposed to go kill people.
Yeah, this is before the tower defense portion of the game, right? When you're supposed to clear out the sewers for the first time.
Yeah,
there was that werewolf helping you. And I had the same questions, like, whoa, well, okay, sure, he's an ally, I'll just heal him. And then later on when I'm placing traps, like, oh, monster trap, that's what these guys are, who never heal on their own.
I presume neither of you got close to failing the siege.
No. Not close at all.
On the first one, my bar filled up, totally red.
Oh, wow.
And nothing happened, didn't matter.
Oh.
I'm like, I guess you can't actually fail, or maybe it has to go off the top, but it was pretty close to the top. Like, yeah,
they can't
like
give right you a game over. That would suck, right? Because it's in this game that has no redos. If, you know, oh, game over. Got to start a new character now.
Yeah, I don't know what happens. No, like, but I totally failed because like, I built my defenses expecting them to be a lot more effective than they were. And
yeah, no,
I don't understand the trap mechanics, and you don't get to play enough to really
get comfortable with them. There's no teaching there.
Right.
Yep. So, and I'm like, oh, I'm just defending against this portion, and like, oh, there's monsters coming from the other side. I can't get there fast enough to stop them. So a few monsters get in who get past my traps.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say? Anyone? Any more comments or anything?
I want to know why you think the game is fun. I mean, just want to know that.
Like RPG.
I know, but that doesn't by itself doesn't tell me like why you think it's fun.
Well, I think it. This is you know, it's about the journey, right? You're just like clicking on things and making them dead.
Yeah, that's
all. No,
this. If you then there you go. You're not going to like this game.
I like to see crit numbers. I like to see rewards, you know, that fall from them, and they translate into gold, which translates into a chance for a randomly good enchantment. And I like to build my character and see them grow powerful. I like the feeling of, you know, being super powerful. I can't say god mode, but, you know. And then I'd like to push them to the further extreme and go into those end game scenarios to look for those loots. And it took me a while to figure out what the challenges are. Like, I don't know if you played any of the scenarios.
I started the scenario. All I saw was it was level 31. I was level 29. I kind of went in there and it was hard. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll stop.
Oh, because I mean, for me, it's like I got to do more, right? I can't play the game anymore,
right?
With my certain character run around empty cities. No thanks. So I played the scenario and I was like, okay, I got to the very end. Oh, how do you quit out? You just exit, you know, return to the lair. That's it. And then my second playthrough, I was like, playing through the spider lair, it said challenge unlocked or completed. I had no idea what that was. And then it opened up the worm boss who drops a unique ring.
Huh.
And then...
Well, isn't each level just a challenge? Isn't that just what a challenge is?
So I have to figure out what these challenges are to find out, you know, because I'm looking for these epics, right? Looking for these legendary items. So the second map, I could not figure out what the challenge was. I thought the first one was to actually loot all the corpse. That was a challenge. And under a certain amount of time, I discovered that on the forums when I'm trying to figure out what to do. On the second one, I thought it was touch all the little shrines.
Uh-huh.
It's not. It's don't get hit by those big guys.
How did you figure it out?
I turned to the forums.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the Rats City one was don't get killed.
Well, they have a terrible, they're extremely poor at communicating the end game. Like when the game ends, you just fall back into the game and there's nothing to do.
Yeah. See, here's another thing, right? I was trying to figure out what is there to do, and apparently this is just episode one. There's going to be more content added to the game. The story will continue.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I could see that model. You know, for a $15 game, this is pretty well done, and fair amount of content, and I guess I can see, you know, they're giving you act one or they're giving you the first part and then there's going to be another $15 game or whatever to go into the next part. That's not a bad system.
Yeah, but it's just poorly communicated, so I don't know why I need to keep playing.
Right.
And, well, it's kind of like Paragon levels in Diablo 3. You are building up this additional... You're building glory points for these... you're building a new reputation bar and earning glory points with every level you obtain. And you're buying these account-wide perks for your you're buying these account-wide perks.
Right.
Plus 0.3 crit chance.
It's right out of Borderlands. Borderlands. What's that called? Badass ranks, I think.
Every
time you get a badass rank, it applies to all your characters, and then you get to pick some stat increase, like 1% more melee damage, 1% more fire damage, 1% reload speed. That's... And then the second time you get it, it's like 0.6% reload speed, and you know, by the time you got like 10, it's like 0.4, and then so you're not going to have 100% increase reload speed. Returns.
Yeah, these cap out because you can only invest like 15 points total into them. But I mean, they're one reason to keep playing the game.
Yeah, but for me,
that's not the reason I want to play, and that's why I stopped.
Well, it's just some reward for continuing to play.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can see where you're saying that it's not enough to pull you in. Anyway, but back to what Paul was asking, which is why is it fun? It's, you know, it's a simple game. It's straightforward and it's repetitious, and the feedback loop is, you know, click something, make it dead, you know, get some loot. Click something, make it dead, get some loot, and it just makes sense.
Does it?
It's not like
makes sense. I like seeing big numbers.
I see the same loop for sure. Just that loop doesn't seem entertaining to me.
Well, it doesn't, you know, it's not everything is entertaining to everybody.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, there is definitely a taste factor.
I also, you know, have always enjoyed the campaign aspect of things. Like, I'm building a single character, making them better. And for that reason, it's kind of bad when you have to go play another character or you run out of stuff to do.
I do too, but the thing that I don't find fun is like the equipment gathering as like the end of the game, not like the means. Because it seems like one of the things you enjoy is like getting, you know, min-maxing and getting all the equipment and stuff like that. And I, you know, to me it's just like digital stats, and I want to, you know, progress in the story of the game and I don't know, do more things like that. I'm not as, you know, just because I collect a bunch of digital goods doesn't do anything for me.
So you're not about making your character. You're not about building your character. And that's really the problem.
Yeah. See, I liken this to like deck building in a way. Like that's what I'm doing with my character. I have a long-term plan for this character. Now this is for Diablo 2, right? Because I understand the game really well, the mechanics, and I understand how the stats and, you know, hit, you know, min-maxing, you know, making your character, you know, super awesome. And dealing with the extra bonus challenges they throw at you to challenge your characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the final piece is this one piece of gear that you need to complete your build.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because I love deck building, but I find a different joy in it.
I know. No, that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, the different kind of strategy, right?
Like,
you know, deck building, you're building this deck and then you're trying it out.
Yeah.
Here, I'm doing this to my character, except there's a lot more time investment and randomness to get to that endpoint.
Yeah, and you're only kind of measuring yourself against the computer. Instead, like I find that, you know, when you do deck building, you can measure yourself against other people.
No, see, that's where I differ. Like when I'm playing against other people, it's a different mindset I go into that I enjoy. It's a competition mode where, like, these, you know, on the spot, you know, tactics and decisions I'm doing right now, those are what I enjoy about playing against other people. Deck building is I see it as a different enjoyment.
Yeah.
And, you know, character building, for me, action RPG is this character planning and development coupled with seeing big numbers and blood.
Yeah, I can understand that.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we can talk about next month's game. Month we have a selection by Paul. Paul, tell us what you chose and why.
I chose Dishonored, and I think the reason is because I listened to a lot of video game podcasts, and they were all reviewing Dishonored, and it got really, really good reviews. And I'm interested in, you know, story driven games, so I think this satisfies kind of both categories. And so I just wanted to try it out, and it's gotten really good reviews. So I want everyone else to try it out too.
I've been holding off on this game for so long because we've been talking about doing this, and I'm really excited that we're finally going to get to play it.
Yeah.
Let's postpone it in a month.
What's that?
Let's postpone it another month.
Also, isn't it, does it have some like stealth aspects to it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I haven't played like a stealth game in a really, really long time.
As a fan of Hitman and Deus Ex, Human Revolution anyway, I'm excited to, and Thief, I'm excited to play a stealth action game. I'm probably going to play the DLC even though I don't have it yet.
The,
I heard the
for Dishonored?
Killer of something, or I forget what it's called.
Knife of Dunwall.
Knife of Dunwall, yeah.
Yeah, and the something Witches
of Dunmore. No,
really quick, is this sci-fi or like modern real life?
So the setting is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like steampunk, except everything runs off like whale oil. I think
that's right.
In the future, yeah. Or in an alternate universe?
It's like steampunk. It's futuristic and like old aspects to it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. Well, I don't think ever futuristic. It's.
Well, I mean, like if you take, you know.
It's like Industrial Revolution,
right,
kind of stuff.
But like War Machine has like a bunch of lightning, you know, all the time.
Right.
Same kind of thing. It just kind of has like some future parts, mm-hmm, and not some future parts.
Anyway.
Yep. I think it'll be fun.
If you'd like to join us in playing the game of the month and want to send in your comments or questions, feel free to do so at podcast@10-hp.com or follow us on Twitter @10hppodcast. Okay, so now we're going to go into a segment called Bonus HP, where we get a few minutes to talk about anything that we want to talk about. And we're going to start with Anthony because he's going to continue with our Van Helsing discussion.
Oh, yeah, just another 20 minutes. Okay. So, well, you know, playing a lot of Van Helsing and getting to the end game and realizing and reading the forums and, like, you know, just learning about how people are min-maxing, basically using an alchemist perk to make efficient essences. Uh-huh. And anyways, I was like, okay, there's really not much more for me to get out of this game. You know, I there's no unique item I'm looking for. So I turned back to Path of Exile since it's gone...
It's been released.
Release version 1.0. And I just wanted to, you know, see what the game has to offer. And of course, you know, I'm not at the end game of that game, so I always enjoy the game itself. And I learned that they're still doing racing. It's season 5, because the first 4 seasons were in open beta.
How many seasons?
So these seasons run...
How long do they last?
Well, what they say is a season is basically a set time period, like 3 or 4 months, and they host over 100 races during that time. And what you do is when you race, you get, you know, you earn points for how well you do. And then depending on how many points you crew for that season, you earn rewards,
right,
for that season.
Right.
So, you know,
was trying to think, I guess it's been like a year. Was it supposed to be October or something like that when the game was supposed to go into open beta? Mm. Last October, 2012?
Wow.
Yeah, and then it didn't do that for months and months? Anyway, I was just wondering how many seasons they actually managed to get before release. Yeah. Because if this is season 5, I mean, that's a lot, yeah, of...
And what's great is, seasons, these are just for racing, and then you get these rewards that you can transfer to any of the other accounts, any of the other leagues that are going on. And they've started a new
Rewards just items, or are they something interesting?
They're unique items. See? They're unique. Like, they have special unique artwork. You know,
are they level capped items? Because I hate items that are like, this is a level 15 item.
Yes, some of the items have level requirements.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
but they're all scattered throughout all the different levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got a ring I can use, or necklace. I don't know what it is. And then one of the rewards is this, just a ring. It's a generic ring. And has a unique art to it. So what players can do is basically craft, because what's great about Path of Exile, if you hate the crafting aspect, you know, you can really tinker how items are, customize items with a lot of grinding.
Can you trade or sell your rewards?
Yeah, you can. That's the thing. Like, you can, you know, make this awesome, you know, ring with this unique artwork, because it's something you earned during the season.
Right.
And then you can sell it to other people. Not for real money. That is a bannable offense.
Right. Okay, so you've been racing.
I've been racing and playing the normal game because they released a new class, and I don't know, it felt like a new game.
The prestige class after you finish the game, right?
No, just a new starter base class.
What was the class that you can only play after you finish the game?
There was a class that for Path of Exile?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I never heard of that. There is a class. You have to look into it. I don't remember what it is offhand. Oh,
yeah.
What's the class that you're playing now?
I'm playing the Scion.
I thought the Scion was a prestige class.
I haven't. Yeah.
You have to finish the game.
Oh, well, I did complete the game, so I guess that's why I can play her.
Yeah, I think that is. You have to look into it. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah. But it's nice to see how they've improved the game.
Yeah.
They did make a lot of improvements, so it's really nice.
Well, I'm level like 15. I've not really played that game, but I enjoy it. So I got to play more. What about you, Paul?
So I have been playing the game Empire on mobile phone. Do you remember?
It's an iOS game.
It's an iOS game, and people have been, maybe it was you or somebody else, said it was like a roguelike Civ game.
Oh, yes. I remember mentioning this game to you, but I couldn't play it or whatever.
So I've had a lot of time on airplanes and sitting in hospitals recently, and so I've been playing it a lot. And I guess it's kind of roguelike. I'm still on my first game, although I've been playing it for like 5 hours or so, you know, something like that. So seems pretty long, and it doesn't seem like I'm not going to die anytime soon. So it seems more like a game of Civ than it does a roguelike. But I mean, I can kind of see where they're coming from, because
is it just like a fast paced Civ? Is that what people are calling it? Roguelike?
Are they calling it roguelike because you just can't save?
I'm not calling it roguelike. I'm saying what other people have said.
Right. Okay.
But I can kind of see where they're coming from, because the game is about seeing how long you can last. Imagine that you were playing Civ, and you only could get a maximum of 3 cities, and there were no other countries, except the world was slowly being enveloped by like darkness. And so every once in a while, like the map is spread out in tiles, like the overworld is all tiles. And every once in a while, each piece of the overworld gets corrupted and turns into like useless land. And not only that, like every once in a while, like the corruption gets so bad that it spawns like a nest of monsters, and they just start sending monsters at your cities. And so you can raise an army and you can fight the monsters as they come to your city, or better yet, you can send your army out to just like wipe out the nest so that they don't, you know, keep cause coming trouble. After you. And so it's like a game of like whack-a-mole while you're kind of building your empire. I don't know, I've been pretty successful at whacking moles
recently. I figured out why you aren't calling it a roguelike and why other people are.
Yeah.
Because you're good at it.
I think that's the case.
Roguelikes, you know, you can play a roguelike for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to lose a roguelike. No.
It's true, but this is still like my first game.
Right, you know? You're just awesome.
I guess so.
Or the thing about roguelikes is also luck of the draw.
You know? It is.
It could be that, you know, randomly generated map and events have favored, you know, gone in your favor at the
start.
Yeah,
it could be. That's just the map part. But the part I really like about the game is the combat. And the way the combat works is it does have a lot of random elements. But anyway, it's like you have 3 unit types. You have cavalry, and you have warriors, and you have archers. And the archers can you're fighting on a grid. So it's like your army lines up on the left side in kind of like a randomized fashion, and their army lines up on the right side in a randomized fashion. And every turn, you just move forward. And, you know, if there weren't any, like, actions you could play, they would just move forward and kill each other slowly. But you can play these cards that that can basically swap positions of guys and just do, or make your guys stay still for a while, or you get these other passive cards that allow you to do extra damage or defend.
And it's a rock, paper, scissor mechanic with these 3 unit types?
Kinda. It's more like the archer shoots 2 squares away in a diagonal direction. So it's like you know, where they're sitting, then it would skip a square, and then it would only hit that one diagonal square or the diagonal, you know, north and south of the guy.
And our viewers are watching our hand movements.
It's like exactly
specific movements, and you've got to strategize to get your guys in the right place.
Right, move straight forward, and he only just like will whack guys heavy just right in front of him, or directly down or up. So like if you happen to pass the enemy, then you would strike him down. And then the cavalry, he does like one hit straight in front of him, but the immediate diagonal squares in front of him, he does two hits. And that's like the entire game. And so you're constantly just playing your cards.
Jockeying for position.
Exactly. But the thing about the cards is every casualty you lose in a battle, you get an extra card for your deck of cards that you get to play. And that card does nothing. So it just like blanks out a spot.
Oh.
Because you draw four cards every turn. And sometimes they're just blanks because they're called strife cards because you're slowly like losing. But
I was thinking when you said you get an extra card, I'm like, oh, so they're like trying to balance it. You're losing.
Yeah, handicap.
No.
You get better.
It's much, much worse
but
than
no,
that.
But no, you get handicapped.
Yeah. But you can fix those kinds of things by building up your civilization. Because if you build a top tier building, then you get to remove two strife cards from your deck. And the funny thing is that you can only have three of these cities, right? Uh-huh. And so, but slowly the lands that are, you know, that are within your city boundaries, they get corrupted as well. And so eventually you get the city that just isn't producing anything because it's on all this corrupted land. So you actually have to abandon it, move the city somewhere else, and like start the whole building, you know, structure again. So eventually you'll meet like the top, or you'll build the top building again and remove more strife cards because you've started this like 10th city after you keep abandoning them. Anyway, it's been kind of fun.
Free to play? Is it free or?
No, I think it costs $2. Yeah, but and it just keeps me entertained. I like empire building games, and I like kind of like the tactical combat is, you know, it's kind of fun. So
we have to report on it next time when you lost a game and you started over.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're just trying to get as much score as possible,
right?
And yeah, that's the point of the game.
Just waiting for Hearthstone to come out on iOS, right?
Well, there's that. Yeah, I was waiting for Van Helsing to go away so I can play more Hearthstone. But this, like, you know, you can't play, Hearthstone while mobile. So,
right. Mm-hmm. So I was going to talk. Well, I'm real quickly going to talk about Movember again. Everybody should get a physical and get checked out. Movember is about reminding you about men's health issues, and I'm growing a beard for Movember. I'll put up a picture.
He's lying. He's clean shaven.
Totally clean shaven. Completely. I actually already had a mustache, so I couldn't. Technically, in November, you're supposed to shave your mustache, start off clean shaven, and regrow.
Wow.
But I'm like, this is. I don't want to do that. So I decided to grow a beard, and that's what I'm doing. So I'm a couple, 3 weeks in. And anyway, that was. And then I was going to talk about Xbox versus PlayStation 4 because I have both consoles and whatnot. But Paul inspired me to talk about my favoritest game ever. Because you're talking about the world collapsing and like you kind of have to move your cities around.
Oh, yeah.
And that reminded me of a mechanic in probably one of my favorite games of all time called Ruthless.com.
Oh.
And it's a very old game. It's from like
Tom Clancy, actually.
Tom Clancy, right. Yeah. It's one of Tom Clancy's less successful
games. Rest in peace.
Games.
Yep.
Yeah, rest in peace. It's one of the games that flopped from his studio, but it's kind of a board game about corporations. And it's a tile ownership game. You form a building on this grid, and you own the tiles immediately around it, and you sell products out of your building, and the quality of those products determines whether or not you own the tile next to you. So if two buildings are trying to compete for the same tile, the quality of the product determines who gets the tile. And getting tiles increases like stock prices and makes you more successful and makes you more money. And then you can use that money to do all sorts of espionage type things. Like you could kidnap their CEO, and their CEO has skills, and he levels up over time and gets more skills. You could kidnap them. You could perform espionage to steal their technology. You can do all kinds of stuff. In reality, the game isn't balanced so well that you need to do all that kind of stuff, but it's there.
You can pay for your own security, both in, you can pay for hackers to hack their network, and then there's like this grid thing where the so you don't just build one building, you build lots of buildings in the attempt to take over the whole grid, and the buildings are in this hierarchy. So like every building is attached by a line to another building. And you can't overlap lines. So if somebody else's line is going across you, you can't go directly there. You have to kind of like build around it to get there. But anyway, and then the manager that you instill in one building has direct report over the managers below him. And the number of actions you can take in the game is based on how many managers you have and how skillful they are. And then they can only take actions based on their authority. So like the guy at the top can take action anywhere. He can spend his two actions on anything, but then the guy down below can only take actions from his building or buildings that are subordinate to it. Anyway, so your analysis reminded me of one of the game modes, which is the grid slowly gets smaller and smaller. And you're trying to be the last corporation standing. And you do that by not going out of business or not falling off the map. Like the tiles disappear at random from the edges. So if you're on the periphery and it falls off, your building just boom, gone. But it's interesting because the product like has a quality, and it slowly degrades in time, like as consumers get less interested in the product. But you can put research and development on it, and it'll improve the quality. Or first it mitigates it, and then if you put enough research and development, then it improves it. But making a better thing is not usually what makes you successful. Really, it's about making a good thing and convincing people they want to buy it. So you take the quality and you multiply it by the number of marketing departments that you have working on it, and that boosts the score of the quality so that it can outrank something that's a better quality, just doesn't have as much marketing. And then like you can hack people's marketings to disable that department, and then their quality goes down as a result. Temporarily, while their marketing department's out of commission. Anyway, it's a.
Do you still play this game?
Yeah, it uses in player, right? The multiplayer God. Thing. So you can't play it multiplayer anymore unless you like found a Kali,
right? Kali, right?
Kali, right? Yeah,
yeah.
A Kali client or whatever.
You can't play it local even.
Like, I think you could.
Like IPX, XPX?
I don't know. The game still runs. Like, I had problems with it in XP, or maybe it was 98 I had problems with it. But they went away with more current versions of Windows. Sometimes the graphics would go black, and I just have to quit and go back in the game. But usually it would work.
EGA or 256 VGA?
Oh, no.
It's VGA.
SVGA. It is called ruthless.com. So, I mean, it has to be at least after the internet got popular.
Yeah, no, it's in the late 90s.
It was before Rainbow Six, right?
They had a game called Incredible Animals or something like that. It was an RTS about mutant creatures. It was right around the time that came out.
No, I don't remember that
anyway,
at all.
Anyway, there's some one-off... mutant creature RTS, and it was about the same time, but it was like right when Rainbow Six came out. It was in the initial run before they totally went all like, we're only going to make Rainbow Six games.
Yeah.
So there's I can win every game on hardest, no problem. You know, it's not even an issue. I know how the game works, but it's kind of clunky. Like, I said you get two orders, but you have to like click on the building, click on the order, confirm the order. Like there's like four steps to doing everything, and the UI could really use a redesign. And it's just, especially like when you're like, I want to do exactly the same thing I did last turn, and you've got to do this for 10 different orders from different managers. It's such a pain to do it, but it's still one of my favorite games, and I still play it now and again. And you made me think of it with the collapsing world. Yeah, there's other modes like 10 easy pieces where you take down Evil Soft.
and you're like this little startup, and you go and you, and they don't ever change, and you go and you create better products and you take over their thing, and you, the object is to take them out of business and be the most successful company at the same time.
For sure.
Yeah. And Last Man Standing and
sounds all fun.
Kinds of modes. I'll have to show it to you sometime. Anyway, that's it. If you enjoy this podcast, tell someone. We're always interested in having more listeners, or send us a comment at 10HP Podcast on Twitter, or podcast at 10-HP.com through email. If you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, we will read your review.
Or 4-star at this point.
or 3-star. Just leave us any sort of review and we'll appreciate it. Anyway, thanks for your support, and goodbye from 10HP.
Bye.
Bye.